Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and co-parents of all ages, this podcast is for you. Introducing in the center ring, the amicable divorce expert, Judith Weigel.
Joining me in center ring today, we have Tracy Enos. And Tracy is coming to us from Kansas City. Tracy is a gold mine here of information for those people in a divorce that have to get a job. So what happens in a divorce is you might have two people, one household, one income. In a divorce, you have two households and you might have two incomes because whatever the settlement is, whatever child and spousal support come out to be, it simply may not be enough for the recipient. And so I thought when I saw Tracy and her background as a LinkedIn expert, I jumped on calling her because LinkedIn is just a wonderful space to market yourself, to redefine yourself. It's a professional networking organization, and I have achieved wonderful results through it. So, Tracy, first of all, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Judy, for having me today. Excited about talking to you.
This is going to be a great conversation. But one little caveat, and we're going to save it for the second half. When Tracy and I were talking, getting to know one another, putting this episode together, I realized Tracy has a story about her own divorce. And in the best interest of sharing that information, like we do under what we call exit interviews, sharing a look back on the divorce process and what people did that they would suggest other people do and what they would have done differently. There's just so much that goes into it. And I think when Tracy shares her divorce story, it's going to be very impactful. So, two things on the agenda. Tracy, let's start with LinkedIn. First of all, what do you do with LinkedIn? How do you help people market themselves?
Well, we worked with a bunch of different industries. I would say probably about over 50 industries, everywhere from the solo entrepreneur, maybe somebody that, you know, decided to quit their job or wanted to start, you know, a side business, all the way to the $50 million SaaS company. And so we've run the gamut. I have my favorites, but I fell into this industry in this career, you know, quite by accident. And we'll probably talk about the timeline here in a little bit. But so we work with people and we really help them utilize all that LinkedIn has to offer. However, being a very different platform than, you know, let's say Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, it has a lot more bells and whistles and can become overwhelming to a lot of folks. So either they'll get on there and go, okay, what's next, and just not do anything with it. Or they'll get on there and they'll just dabble and they get frustrated with the results and then they'll quit, or they'll just go and we call lurkers. They'll just go in and look at the newsfeed and read other people's stuff, but they won't actually use it to, you know, grow their business.
I find LinkedIn very difficult. I can support what you just said. I actually have to have other people work with me to update my profile, to know all the ins and outs of LinkedIn. There's a lot going on LinkedIn, isn't there?
There is. And I'm going to tell you what, since the beginning of the pandemic, these are LinkedIn statistics, by the way, the first 60 days of the pandemic, they came out with a little newsletter that I received in my email, and they did a study. Their first 60 days of the lockdown, their platform increased 55% in engagement over all of 2019. So that tells me something. You know, business was disrupted by the lockdown. And so for those people that were on LinkedIn, all of a sudden the light bulb went on and went, you know what? Here's a platform that we hadn't been utilizing no time than the present. And they're probably kicking themselves in their rear that they hadn't taken advantage of it prior to the pandemic. Then you have people going, well, we're not on LinkedIn. Maybe we have a company page, but we're really not using it, or not even be on there at all. None of the company or the employees on there at all. And we decide, you know what? Now that we have to, our business has been disrupted, we have to figure out a way to still grow the business and keep our doors open. Let's start using LinkedIn. And so dawn, the dawn of LinkedIn, the growth of it over the last year and a half, 2 years has been phenomenal.
Okay, so always looking out for myself sometimes. Is LinkedIn a public company? Should I have bought stock in LinkedIn like I should have bought stock in Zoom? I could kick myself.
Yes, you should have, because LinkedIn is a public company. And in May of 2016, Microsoft bought them. Yep. For $26 billion.
Oh, shoot. Well, real estate was always my better platform to invest in. I am constantly behind the eight ball on buying stocks. But, you know, you were so magical when we were talking a couple weeks ago. And even though I definitely use LinkedIn for my podcast and my business, you were giving me tips on how to use LinkedIn that were beyond what I even understood. So, and I want you to extend this. So you were saying, okay, you can put all your information up there, but you can't end with that.
No.
You have to, how do you use LinkedIn beyond just posting your profile?
Well, even then, you can't just half-ass your profile. You really got to decide, why are we on LinkedIn? What are our goals and business objectives for using LinkedIn? Who's the client or the prospect? Who's the referral partner, the joint venture, the investor, the whoever it is you're trying to attract on LinkedIn? And sit down and do your foundation work, which would be applicable to any other marketing that you're going to do. So, you know, define the demographics. You know, what are their business titles? What industry are they in? Where are they located? You know, and then we need to sit down and who do they follow as, you know, influencers or people? They could be, you know, range from, you know, the average guy that, you know, the Tesla, you know, down to right. Maybe the marketing guy who's really big on, you know, Instagram, right. You know, and define who that is. So you also need to figure out, look, what are their pain points? What are their desires? What keeps them up at 3 o'clock in the morning? You know, so once you can define what the problems are, you are that solution to that problem. But at the end of the day, people are still approaching LinkedIn the same way they did back 18 years ago when LinkedIn first started, is they're just posting their resume, you know, and that doesn't really tell anybody who you work with, right? So now LinkedIn has transformed into a kind of a different platform, and it's because of the members, not because LinkedIn changed it. LinkedIn just started seeing what the members were doing and adapted to that. So the platform is still huge for talent managers, recruiters, staffing agencies, HR, you know, to find talent to fill open positions in companies. And actually, their job platform is larger than the other platforms like Indeed. And
I think Tracy told me before we started this interview, by the way, that in Kansas City, they're having horrible wind problems. And her screen just froze. So I'm just going to talk a little bit to see if it unfreezes and then she can rejoin us. If it doesn't, we'll just wait for a better day. But where Tracy was going on this is, yes, you can put your profile on LinkedIn and there's all these different sections that you have to fill in. But what she, I think, was going to say, had she not frozen out on this, is you have to be a well-rounded person at the same time. You have to put some personal things on there, like, are you an animal lover? Because if you're something like, if you're an animal lover, okay, I'm an animal lover, and there's nothing like that on my LinkedIn profile, so I kind of have to do this now. If you're an animal lover and you put that aspect of your personal life on there, which isn't divulging anything too personal, then people who love animals, Tracy's back, will then want to know more about you. So here's how I filled in the gap, Tracy. So I said, no, Tracy told me before we started that there's a huge wind issue in Kansas City, and more than likely she'll come back to us. But I filled in the gap by saying, then you tell me if I'm right, when you organize the information for your profile, and there's so many different sections to do that, and you were talking about influencers and who you follow, and there's a section for that, I do remember that you told me this one really cool thing that I loved. Of course, I haven't updated it on my own LinkedIn site, but now that we're talking about it, I have to. You said something like, you know, put a little bit of your personal self on there, because people connect with people personally. And the example that you gave me was, if you're an animal lover, and you and I are big animal lovers, if you're an animal lover, put it on there. You know, maybe put your animals on there, because people who are also animal lovers are going to stop and they're going to start connecting with you personally while they're reading your professional profile. Is that right? Oh, wait a minute. Now you don't have volume. Tracy, look to see about your volume. Oh, there you go.
We're back.
Okay.
Yes, you're correct. And I would take it a step further too, is like, for example, the human side of you. At the end of the day, you're right, this is a personal profile and you should have the human side. So there's sections for that, like your volunteer work, organizations you support, projects that you're proud of, publications, your education. So I had a client who is very adamant about not putting his military experience. He had 20 years in the Army. And he's pretty mad at the military, but I was like, okay, you can be mad at the military all you want, but trust me, he's a commercial and industrial roofer. I said, you're really going to connect with those business owners that have something in common with you. So if you don't have your military experience in there, and then they go through your profile, you might have lost opportunity because you just didn't have something that likability. We call it DILI. Do I like you?
Oh,
right?
I never heard that.
And so I kind of swiped and deployed that from somebody else I heard it from. So, but not in the LinkedIn side of things. I just love that. I'm like, that's perfect for what I do.
I steal from people all the time. I also say I'm stealing, but that's good.
That's why I said swipe and deploy. but anyway, so case in point, I've gotten some clients because I have my military experience in there. I was on a podcast run earlier this year, and this fellow by the name of his last name, Zemar, so it's called the Zemar Podcast. He only has guests on his show that have been in the military, period. So I would have never had that opportunity had I not had that information in there, regardless of whether I was angry at the military or not. And so
yep.
It was a very compelling argument to my client to put that in there, because trust me, we know the guys that he works with, typically the business owners are male, especially if they have industrial or commercial, right? And they have that camaraderie right there. And if they have the military experience, that's just going to even, you know, fortify that camaraderie even more, because now we have something in common. We have the same interest. I like you now. So that brings down that wall that makes it easier to have a conversation with somebody and get them in on the phone than if you didn't have it in there at all.
That makes perfect sense, because in the old days, in my day, when I was young and looking for a job, you actually got to go in an interview. It wasn't just done by resume. You got to talk on the phone, then you went for the interview. And always we were taught, look around the office, see what pictures you see. Is this person a fisherman, a boating expert? You know, you want to look for things that may connect you personally, because we just love doing business with people that we feel connected to.
Exactly. And you would be surprised, for, you know, as long as LinkedIn's been around, it's still, people are still treating it like their black and white resume. And it's all about me. Like I said in my profile, is your profile like the Toby Keith song? I want to talk about me.
Well, we are our favorite subjects.
Well, everybody loves to talk about themselves, but I mean, there's a place to talk about yourself, and there's a place to really identify who that ideal prospect is, what you can do for them, how you do it, how you're different, and what results they can expect.
Okay, now let's just say the profile is laid out beautifully with personal and business experience. What else do you do? How do we connect with other people on LinkedIn?
Well, there's a lot of various ways that you can do that. And it also depends on what membership you're on. Are you on the free membership? Are you on the business premium? Or do you have the higher level sales navigator? So there's things that you can do with all of them, but you're limited when you're on the free because you have only so many page views per month. Nobody knows what that is. And it just depends on how active you are. A few years ago, I decided to see how long it took me to be suspended from any more on the platform. It took me 2 days. And then I had to upgrade because it'll give you the search, but it'll fuzz everything out and says, you have the opportunity to upgrade to business premium, or you can wait till it resets next month. You know, and so I'm a power user. So 2 days. And this was what, March of 2014, I think this was. Now you can imagine. Now I've had Sales Navigator for years, and I share with people. You must have Sales Navigator. If you're going to get serious about using LinkedIn, you must have Sales Navigator and get good at using it.
Oh my gosh. You know what? You had mentioned that to me when we talked a couple weeks ago, and I have a coach that's working with me on doing a TEDx talk and doing corporate speaking. And he also has said, Judy, you must get Sales Navigator if you really, really, really want to branch out. So thank you. Thank you for this podcast interview. I am now going to get Sales Navigator. So, and I don't think I don't know that everybody knows that there are these different levels. Maybe I'm the only one. Who knows?
No. And you know what? LinkedIn is horrible at this. And it just drives me nuts because somebody can be on Business Premium and upgrade to Sales Navigator. Now, this is the last time I checked. So maybe this has changed since a few months ago. But LinkedIn wouldn't tell you. If you had Business Premium, you upgraded Sales Navigator, your account still, you're paying for Business Premium, and you don't need both. You just need one or the other.
Oh,
and so you
okay.
You get everything that the Business Premium has when you have Sales Navigator and not vice versa.
Okay, That makes a lot of sense. Okay, let's fine tune this now to people who are getting divorced and need to enter the job market. And still, to this day, there are many, many households where it's a one-income household. But then when you go to have two households, especially if there are children, the recipient of child support, maintenance, whatever it's called in your state, it's just not enough and you have to get a job. Now, I have experienced lately enough women who are saying that they're aging out of the industries that they used to work in. And there are some industries that are really youth-oriented, and unless you have this amazing background, and tech is one of these. You know, and tech is taking over our lives. That's where the jobs are. So, Tracy, let's brainstorm for people. Let's look at, and I'm sorry to say it's women, but it is women mostly that are having this discussion about aging out. So we have a mom and she has kids, and the kids are going to be in school now, and she needs additional income, but she hasn't worked in a while. What should she do to organize a profile and categorize herself somehow so she can start connecting with potential employers?
Well, when after I filed for divorce, and by the way, I was the breadwinner in the family. So he worked, but I still made like 85% of the income.
Okay.
But that didn't matter because 2 months later, I got laid off. And this was in 2008.
What field, what industry were you
in? I was in mortgage. So I worked for National City Bank. And I was a retail, on the retail side, a mortgage originator. We did mostly residential homes, but I also lived in an area that was primarily second homes. So can you imagine with the fallout of the financial crisis of 08, 07, 08, 09, I lived in an area where not only are they, I mean, they're very selective on doing a primary home loan, but if they're doing a second home loan, they were almost non-existent. And I also had my real estate license. So we had 18 months of inventory because nobody was lending. And so the only people that were really buying property at that time were cash buyers.
Okay. So this is devastating. What happened to you?
File for divorce, laid off, went on unemployment. And in my state of Missouri, we call it misery because the unemployment is so low. Like I was only making I capped out at like $200 and something a week.
Oh my God, horrible. That's nothing coming it from is the nothing. Mortgage industry.
And I had two mortgages. I had two cars. I had two babies at home and unemployment wasn't giving me enough. I got a little bit of money after I sold the last two houses that were in foreclosure for half the price what they were listed for, by the way. But by the time I paid my broker their split and the little money I had left over, that really pretty much just washed out all my advertising fees and, you know, things like right. that. So expenses. Wow. And so not much money ended up on food stamps. That first year, they had this program that one of my friends told me about when I was down there that, because I couldn't afford Christmas presents because even though my office was in Kansas, I was in Missouri and I got the wrong information. So I applied for unemployment in Kansas instead of in Missouri. And I didn't get my unemployment until 2 weeks before Christmas. So I had 3 months of back unemployment. And so they have this program. So you go with the local police officers with your kids to get Christmas. They get to pick out their Christmas presents. Uh-huh. You know, it was a wonderful program, but you know what? I was embarrassed. Really embarrassed.
Totally get that. Completely get that.
You know.
Of course. I mean, you came from a very high-powered industry.
Yeah, and doing really well. And so, yeah, so that was all gone overnight. So I didn't know what I was going to do because I'd been, you know, in mortgage for 5 years. I'd been a realtor for, you know, probably eight years at this point. No, wait. Oh, 6 years because it was 2002. 6 years at this point. I couldn't sell real estate because nobody was buying and I couldn't do mortgages because nobody was qualifying or they weren't offering them.
Right.
You know, and so I looked for a job for months and months. Like my job was looking for a job. And this is before LinkedIn. Well, LinkedIn was around. I just didn't know about it because back then you had to be invited by email.
Oh.
I didn't get on LinkedIn until October of 2009. Okay. So I'd already moved back up to Kansas City by that point. I'd found months and months of Craigslist and job boards and, you know, no one was calling me back or I had to drive over an hour one way just to get to work, which wasn't conducive to being a single parent with two school age boys.
Right.
You know, so I found a position as the office manager for a real estate brokerage here in Kansas City. So
may I ask what your husband was doing at that time? I don't mean
to be nosy. He was a server at Applebee's.
And did he still have a job? During that time? Yeah, he did? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, keep going.
So that was difficult. And when the market improved, I worked with them from June of 2009 till February of 2011, and she closed her real estate office and then moved us to another brokerage, but then wanted to double dip with my commissions, and I told her she'd go fly a kite.
So, and double dip with commissions mean?
Meaning I would have to split with the broker and then my buyers, my fee would also split with her because I was on her team.
Okay.
So I'm a broker. I don't need to be on your team.
Right.
But it didn't matter because trust me, when you are a realtor for 10 years, it doesn't matter if you're new or you're seasoned. If you're in an area where you don't have a book of business, yeah. It's like starting all over from scratch,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that was very difficult.
I'm sure.
To do.
Okay, so how did the LinkedIn business start?
Well, that's an interesting story. So I went and dabbled in insurance for a little bit. That didn't work out. And so I needed to find a J-O-B and, you know, whatever I could find, right? So I went to LinkedIn. Since I was on LinkedIn and there was this job called a promoter. So it was like $10 an hour plus commission. I applied for it and I got a call back. It was a nutrition company out of Carlsbad, California, San Diego area.
My area.
Yeah. And they were looking for demo people at Costco's and Sam's Club. You know, like the
I love those people. I love them.
And so I took the job. And within the first week, I was lead in my city, Kansas City. So between the Kansas side and Missouri side, there was like 8 stores, Sam's Club and Costco's. So I would work my store, but I also go around and help the other promoters. And so I would help train them, help get their sales up. So, because, I mean, at one point, you know, it was called Eco Drink, by the way. And it's not around anymore, but it was really good. It was like a vitamin supplement drink you make with cold water.
Anyway. Right.
So we were given those little demos of the drink and stuff. And you could walk out of there making $20 an hour, working 4 days a week, you know, and make $800 a week, $600 to $800 a week. That was better than any other job I could find. So anyway, so I was doing so well, the regional manager in my area came up and he goes, I've got too many states and too many stores. I need an assistant manager. And so within 2 months, I was hired by him. Now I helped the stores in Arkansas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Missouri. Oh, and Nebraska.
Okay.
And so, he had Iowa too, but we didn't go to Iowa very often. So yeah. And so within a couple months after that, they were expanding and it was just too much work. They made me regional manager. Now I have 7 states and 83 stores.
Wow.
Now in charge of finding, hiring, interviewing, promoting. Sometimes if a promoter didn't show up, I had to go, I would have to go and you know, go to the stores and spy on the demo people to see if they were messing around or if they were actually trying to do their job and sell and things like that. So it things were great. It was a 6-figure income because I got a salary plus commission. So I got commission off of the demo people. So it would behoove me to, you know, get them to, you know, help them make as many sales as they can because I would make a portion off of that. Well, they partnered with a pharmaceutical company that gave them some money and they blew through that millions of dollars in 3 months. And the pharmaceutical company says, we're going to pull out as your investment partners if you don't make some changes. And so they fired everybody out in the field. And I was one of those. Okay. So now twice in 4 years, I am without a job.
Okay, so I want to freeze frame here for a second. So one of the morals of this story that I just wanted to say was, you took a job for $10 an hour, and you found the job on LinkedIn, right?
I did. They posted their jobs on Craigslist and LinkedIn.
Okay, so you took a job for $10 an hour, and all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, but the way you work, your work ethic, your skills and talents, and that you found yourself in a 6-figure income. Which right. I find interesting that something small can lead to something much bigger.
Yes.
Okay. So now you're second time out of work moving forward here.
But here's the thing. I knew that this was taking me away from my boys. And at the time I had a live-in boyfriend. So he was helping a lot when I was out on the road. And so I've always had this entrepreneurial spirit. So even when I was with the real estate companies and I was office manager and stuff like that, I would, you know, this is before internet became really popular, but I was like taking these courses. Like the first course I ever got was from, oh goodness, what's his name? Big real estate, Craig Proctor.
I've heard that name.
Yeah, big real estate course. So, and it talked about systems and marketing. And like, I was the first one in my town to put like the phone numbers on top of my real estate listings. And so I would capture those leads instead of them just calling like the real estate office. So that was Craig Proctor's system. And so I've always had this spirit and or entrepreneurial spirit about systems. And so I was starting to work on, I belonged to some networking groups and stuff like that. And I was helping people with like Facebook was big at the time, like developing a business page and then like setting up their social media, doing the graphics and things like that. But I was training or teaching people how to do it for free. Because kind of a side passion, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And eventually I knew I wanted to do something because this was not a sustainable long-term career being away from my boys that much.
Yes.
Anyway, so my sister, Terry, was a graphic artist and she was in worked for an advertising agency. And the summer prior, we had a family reunion and I was showing her some of my work and stuff. And she's like, "You're doing great stuff." She goes, "Why aren't you charging for it?" I don't know. Because I have a job.
Yes.
I guess you could say, right?
Yes.
So when I got laid off, I got a phone call from one of my family members that said, "Your sister's losing her short-term memory. She had brain cancer. Uh-huh. Come see her while she remembers who you are in your conversation." So I flew out day after Christmas after I got laid off. And I sat down with her. We just did a one-on-one. I'm having my ginger beer. She's having her glass of wine. And we discussed this. And she goes, "You need to just start a marketing agency and start getting paid." She goes, "You're doing a great job. Now go get paid for it." And I listened to her. And so unofficially, I was already doing this in 2012. But officially, I was doing this in 2013. And I'd taken like a $97 LinkedIn course in 2011. And, you know, I updated my profile and put some keywords in there. You know, I was like a lot of the folks still on there, like, "All right, I'm here now. What?" You know?
Yeah.
So I started doing that and I could not get clients in my own backyard. Like, I was dirt cheap too, you know? And so I'm going to these network meetings and, you know, chamber meetings and stuff like that. And I think it was just a bunch of broke people selling to broke people. So
could be, yes.
I mean, I think it works for some industries. I just wasn't one of those. And anyway, I turned to LinkedIn. And my very first LinkedIn client was this commercial roofer in Philadelphia. And then I started getting other clients. I got a digital marketing agency client in Houston. And then I started getting clients in Canada. And then eventually those clients turned around and said, "What are you doing? Because we want you to do it for us too. Teach us how to do it, you know, or do it for us." Like, and it all started with profile makeovers. And that was kind of our claim to fame. So that was our very first service doing this. While I'm still building WordPress websites, setting up my Google business, all their business directories, the videos, all the other stuff that comes with digital marketing, and never really concentrating on just one focus. It was like, "I'll just do anything for anybody. I want clients," right?
Yeah.
And then I just loved the LinkedIn thing. It was great. And then that's how the business was born.
Okay. So Tracy, though, when you got your first client from LinkedIn, did that person call you or did you reach out to them?
I reached out to them.
How do you do that?
Well, back then did they have Sales Navigator? I'm not sure. They might have had Sales Navigator. And if they did, it was brand new. It was just like a new tool or a new feature that had. I would just reach out to them directly and ask for a connection request. Okay. And because at this time I was looking for digital marketing agent, digital marketing services. So I was looking for certain industries that I know could pay me.
Smart way to go about it. Yes. Instead of broke people selling to broke people. Right.
Right. And so, but even then I didn't focus on just one or two industries. I was just, okay, company owners that make at least six figures with their services or more, you know, per year, whatnot, or any one of his clients, one job for him was six figures.
Nice.
And all we did was we just started doing profile makeovers. And then sometimes these people, when their profiles were made over, guess what happened? Organically, they started getting connection requests and they started getting people interested in their services because their profiles were optimized.
I really love that, profile makeovers. I have to look at mine now. Okay, now we have a person who is going through a divorce, possibly the divorce is over, needs to get a job. Of course, they'll call you to help them set up their profile, but how should they start thinking about framing themselves, positioning their skills and talents? Because we all have them, just like you. It took your sister to tell you, wait a minute, you have these skills and talents in marketing. Why aren't you using those and selling those skills and talents? And so you were an example of us. Sometimes we miss what we have to offer that we can capitalize on. Let's just brainstorm. How should people start looking at themselves?
Like, I think, like I mentioned, you know, I had this entrepreneurial spirit. So I was kind of the girl that always kind of the think outside the box kind of girl. So I'm looking for new ways to do things that would enhance what we were currently doing, regardless of whether I was in real estate or mortgage or whatever. And so when I was doing that, I think that just sparked a passion. And, you know, sometimes we have these gifts that we're probably not utilizing. Let's say, for example, you have a young lady or an older lady that's in IT but is aged out. What have they done? Take a sit back and take a look over the last however many years. What are things that you like to do? What are things that you're good at? You know, what are things that have you done for free that you didn't realize that you could actually create a business out of? Same way that I did.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's really, really good. A million years ago in 2005, I wrote a book called My Office is a Three-Ring Circus. Subtitle, Must I Take Orders from Clowns? And it's a collection of business stories from when I traveled with the Clyde Beatty Cole Brothers Circus as a marketing director. And I wanted to teach people communication skills and business behavioral skills. But the third section of that book was about reinventing yourself. We all have to reinvent ourselves. Mm. I think the days are over when, as a young person, you go work for a corporation and you stay with them for 30, 40 years and you get your retirement. That doesn't exist anymore. Retirement packages come sooner than when you're actually ready to retire. And companies get bought and sold. So even if you intended to stay with a company forever, that may not be an option for you anymore. So there's this constant process of reinventing, reinventing, reinventing. And my whole point was, when you're looking to reinvent yourself, make it age appropriate for whatever time we're in. Make it age appropriate, because I don't ever believe that you age out of life. Do you also think that whatever age you are, you can figure out how to earn a living somehow, some way? Do you agree or disagree?
No, I 100% agree. And to add to what I was just saying, what I'm finding a lot of is this older generation, actually, a lot of them are women, believe it or not, they're taking their skill sets, sitting down and writing them out, and now they're becoming consultants and they're creating consulting agencies, which we all know that a lot of these corporations and companies are still hiring out, depending on what, you know, that skill set is, to help internally with their employees and their leadership or sales or marketing or whatever the case may be. You know, so maybe we talked about IT, so I got that in my brain, but if we're in the IT area, and we know that that changes fast, just as fast as social media platforms change, that's very quick, but they could still consult on internal. Look, if they worked with this company for, I don't know, 20, 30 years, they've been in corporate America. So they've seen, you know, whatever the skill sets of the top leaders are, maybe train these, like start with startups. you know, that don't understand this big corporation. They're going to hire consultants out to help them make sure that you've got great company culture, that we're in growth mode, that we've got great management and leadership, you know, so that the employees will follow and you get the most productive team out there. I'm seeing a lot of that.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, there's so much that relies on age that we don't even think about. You know, our first go-to is, oh my God, they're going to think I'm too old, I'm too experienced, I'm overqualified. Okay, maybe for certain things, you have more qualifications than what they're looking for. But an example, when youth would be inappropriate. So I'm a divorce mediator, and when people come in to mediate settlement agreements, do you want a 22-year-old, a 25-year-old, or do you want somebody who's lived life? You want an older person. You don't want a kid helping you mediate your divorce because they haven't lived enough yet. So just in my industry, yes, we have young mediators, but they're not in the field of divorce. Young right. mediators work with kids and show kids, it's called Kids in Conflict, and show kids how to communicate and build conflict resolution skills so that as they get older. Okay, so that's fine. It's youth talking to youth. So this is any industry. So if you're in the if you've worked in the tech industry and for some reason you haven't worked in a few years in tech and now you're trying to get back in, no, you may not be able to go back in sales. Maybe they want a very youthful look to the company. That's what the brand is. But your point is taken exactly, that salespeople need sales training. Mm-hmm. And who better to sales train than somebody older than you that's been successful before they left the industry?
Right. And see, sales is timeless.
Yes.
Marketing is timeless. I mean, traditional marketing is timeless, but, you know, that doesn't mean we stop learning, right? So we can right. continue to add to our skill set, which makes us even more valuable out in the marketplace.
Okay, now you get a call from somebody that says, Tracy, we heard you on that podcast. What was the name of it? Ah, the Amicable Divorce Expert Podcast. So we heard you on there, and everything you said sounded great, but I've been a stay-at-home mom for 15 years. What possibly can I do with my time that I spent as a mom that would be appropriate for a profile on LinkedIn? What can we say to that woman?
Well, I mean, think about all the activities you do with your children. And maybe you all developed a system for something within your own household, right? And it's been very successful. Why wouldn't you take that, package it up into a consulting or a course, and go in and find other moms that could use that system?
Perfect. That's your audience. That's your market. Other moms. You're right. You know, years ago, I don't have children. I say cats, not kids. But everybody in my family has children. So my sister-in-law, I loved what she did when she quit her job. And because they wanted a traditional family where he made money and she got to stay home, raise the kids, she had a business card made. And the business card said professional mom. And it listed all the activities that she did. Drive to school, attend school functions, put the kids in activities, play dates. I just looked at this and I said, this is unbelievably brilliant.
Now, I could see right there, I just got an idea. So why wouldn't she start connecting with professional women that still have kids at home that don't have the time to organize all that for their house?
There you go. That would be an outgrowth of that way of thinking. You're absolutely right.
Or professional divorced women with kids still at home that need help with the, you know, they don't have time to organize all this stuff.
So, and not everybody's good at organizing on their own. They need help organizing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is really great, Tracy. See, I, like you, have never believed in dead ends.
No.
As long as you open your mind up and want to be a creative thinker, you can be. But sometimes we need to get with people like you to take that step, to know how to unlock and put what we don't consider to be a skill set at all into a frame. And yes, here it is. Here's how I can make money.
Yeah, I have so many ideas. I have a lot of times I'll get clients that come in and they're reinventing themselves. Like my client of last year, in January this last year, and she's been in MLM for years, but she wanted to still consider doing that, but she wanted to take another route. Guess how old she is?
I don't know, but what's MLM?
Multi-level marketing.
Okay, thank you for that. how old is she?
She's in her early 70s.
Oh my gosh.
Now she's married, but she wants to be, the company's called Malaluca, but she's taking this in another direction. She's just not wanting, she doesn't really need to grow her team anymore, but she will she wanted to become a consultant, a health and wellness consultant.
Okay, and so, perfect for multi-level marketing is like a Tupperware. A Mary Kay Cosmetics, right? Yeah. Where you go in as a salesperson, you do really well, and then you want to be a manager and you recruit other salespeople to work under you and build a team, right?
Right. Okay. So the goal is to help other women, professional women, get the toxic products out of the home and replace them with non-toxic cleaning agents and things like that. How to improve their own health. It drives the product sales to the Malaluca, but she's reinventing herself as the consultant now, the health and wellness and financial consultant.
This is great.
If a young lady is in her early 70s can do that, and that's inspiration for all of us.
Absolutely. There is no question. And men listening to this, this applies to you too. We just took women because it's still more women that have to find work after not working than men. But still, you know, men, your industries change and close too. So this is applicable. Tracy, in our last few minutes, can you please share with our audience a little bit about your divorce, what a couple of the struggles were, and if you were to look back, how would you have done anything differently for an easier, more amicable outcome, if possible?
Well, I did not have an amicable divorce.
Sorry about that.
Unfortunately, in my situation, there was infidelity, and my husband at the time decided to have an affair with our 21-year-old babysitter.
Ouch. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'm 16 years older than this woman.
Anyway, ouch again, yes.
So I call it such a Jerry Springer story.
We're getting there.
Anyway, you would think that, you know, this woman would step back, hopefully, and try and be a step-parent, and he married her, by the way, a step-parent and not want to take over as the parent. That wasn't the case in my situation. She railroaded me for years with nasty emails, social media posts that were public. She started private messaging people on my Facebook page. I had to block her eventually. Nasty emails to coaches and teachers. And it was just horrible. Just called me all sorts of names. Told my children things that were untrue. And this woman was persistent. We didn't just do this for a little bit. This was years and years. In fact, just as recent as last September.
Wow. So I'm so sorry to hear.
Yeah,
I am.
So How would I do things different? Well, the one thing it took me, man, I heard this over and over and over again. Tracy, you need to learn how to respond and not react. But I was so in the moment with this. I am not a mean person. And I would fire back with fire. And that's exactly what she wanted. That made her day. And I think what I would do differently is learn the skills on how to respond and ignore her instead of react. And when I say react, I don't mean just the nasty words, the comments to the kids, which was very wrong. I see how that damaged them now. It's bad when one parent does it. It's bad when both do. And now they're stuck in the middle, right? Yeah. And yeah. So I would learn how to work on me. I became very depressed. I gained a lot of weight, and then I lost weight. Then I gained weight. I started drinking, and it wasn't like a daily thing, you know, because I still had to be a mom. But I would do it to just numb. I just needed to numb. Yeah. And instead, what I should have done is I should have got professional help. So that's what I should have done. So I had somebody to talk to and get the skills to cope and learn how to respond. So, but what I just, I was adopted when I was 9, and I just found my biological uncle a year ago, and got on the phone with him a few days ago, and I asked him some questions, and he shared with me that I was predisposed to depression already, which was on both sides of the family. So had I known this information, you know, I could have gotten additional help and say, all right, I already know that I'm predisposed to depression and I'm in a very stressful situation, which can lead to depression and all that kind of stuff. You know, so I think going back, if I had some of this information earlier, that would have been wonderful. But I think even not having that information, working on myself, because those children were watching. And I was in fight mode, you know, fight or flight, right? And defensive, always defensive. And I should have never had to have been defensive, you know. So I'm their mom at the end of the day.
You absolutely are. And for all the biological moms that have to deal with step-parents, even if it's in a good way, you'll always be mom, and they can like the step parent, but you're still their mom. And I don't really, even though I'm not a mom, I do have nieces and nephews, and I was a kid. So,
right.
I mean, we're just always connected. In fact, we're always connected, but the adoption thing. So what I have learned from other people who have been adopted is, if you were adopted by wonderful parents, and you really do appreciate that, finding your biological parent, and correct me if I don't understand this, is not going to detract from the love and appreciation you have from your step-parents, is it?
Oh, no. But I wasn't allowed to, because of the California state law. I wasn't allowed to go find him until I was 18.
Okay. I understand that. So there are laws.
We didn't have internet back then. We had big, thick white pages, telephone book.
That's right.
So,
so with your particular situation, is your ex-husband still with this woman, right? Because you just said recently something had happened. Okay, so you said two things that I just want to mention once again before we conclude, and that is respond, not react.
Right.
And work on yourself. That is extremely hard on a good day when divorce isn't part of your life. When something comes up, maybe a client emails you and they're not happy, a manager talks to you and somehow they're not happy, it is so very easy to react.
Right.
Or respond in a way that you wish you could dial back and not do. It is so very hard to let silence take place between the message you're getting and when you respond. The self-discipline, the control that takes, because you do go into fight or flight mode. You feel threatened.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and you're scared.
And it doesn't help that I'm a hothead already.
See, being a hothead is good because you have that drive to succeed, right?
You're right.
Channeled properly. But yeah, and we have all these people now that are out there teaching us how to communicate better and how not to respond immediately to those texts and those emails. And the digital age has really exacerbated this whole quick response thing that, you know, I just texted you 3 seconds ago. Why didn't you text me back? Oh, I don't know. I have a life. I'm doing things.
Right.
But what we do is we stop. We're at work and we stop. Oh my God, I got the text, the email from the soon to be ex, and they're mad and I have to address it. No, you don't.
Yeah. And see, I wish I had known or learned that early on, you know, so I didn't have to respond to the email right away, but being that gotta, you know, do it now, you know, and And then you're right. There are times I wish I sent that email and I'd go back a couple of days later and I'd read it. I'd go, man, I could have reframed this a whole lot different and maybe wouldn't have got quite the reaction that I got.
Right.
You know?
Right. I know. Self-discipline in communication is extremely important. And then work on yourself. So in a divorce, we're wounded. We're emotionally wounded. For a variety of different reasons. Either we're in shock, we learn things about the marriage that now have put us in a different frame of mind, maybe we're embarrassed that we're getting divorced. So many different things come into play. And I've interviewed enough divorce coaches and therapists to really appreciate what you just said, to work on yourself, because you're in a state that requires attention. You're in an emotional state, right?
I agree.
And you need to tend to yourself. Exercise is one thing, but another human being who you can talk to, who's a professional, that can listen to you and just let you talk and then give you like the unvarnished reality check that you need so that you can go down the right path to get this done the best you can. Tracy, you really, I mean, you turned your life around.
Oh, I'm still working on me.
But you turned your life around. You're happy. You're in charge of your life, and you're in a position where nobody can fire you.
Exactly. And you know, my income is based off of my efforts. So I don't have a boss breathing down my neck saying you've got, you know, these timelines and projects that have to be completed by this such and such time. You know, so. I know when I need to work a little smarter instead of harder.
Yeah.
And then I know there's times when I'm slacking off. I'm like, whoops, we got to get back to doing this. So, So,
no, this is great. I'm so happy that I met you. And for everybody listening, I want them to be able to get in touch with you, Tracy, because I think what you can do for people with people is marvelous. So how, I'll put this in the show notes, but how do people get in touch with you before we air this episode?
Oh, sure.
Oh no, what am I talking about? They won't know until we air it. Okay.
That's right.
But still, how do they get in touch with you? Nice.
Sure.
Thank you.
They can reach me by email at tracy@tracyenos.com, and that's ENOS. Or they can find me on LinkedIn. That's my handle on LinkedIn. And last but not least, look, if you are in a situation that you need to reinvent yourself, or you know that maybe you're, you know, phasing out of work or whatnot, maybe divorce, or doesn't even have to be that, but maybe you're unhappy in your current, you know, job situation, go ahead and to the ultimateprofilechecklist.com and sign up for my free 30-point LinkedIn profile checklist. And then I'll also throw in the bonus 2018 best-selling book, LinkedIn Publishing the Profits, where the whole first chapter is all about developing your profile. And then the rest of it is a little out of date because LinkedIn, we all know, they make lots of changes all the time.
Oh, I hate that. Once you get used to one way, then you have to get used to another way.
Right. Yeah. Well, that means I got to write another book.
Thank you. Thank you. I found your information beneficial to me, as a matter of fact. So thank you for that, Tracy, very, very much. And thank you to everybody listening. I appreciate each and every one of you. You can get in touch with me through my podcast website, theamicabledivorceexpert.com. I would love for you to share this with your friends, anybody you know going through divorce. I think this can be enormously helpful. And as always, I wish each and every one of you an amicable day.
That's our show for today. Thank you for joining us. Be good to yourselves, be kind to your spouse, and cherish your children above all else.